This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, thanks for being here this afternoon, covering a lot of different topics around the Umpqua Valley, and the Douglas County Fair begins tomorrow. We've been talking about that. We're going to talk about the fair maybe in a little different way right now with County Commissioner Tom Crest. One of your roles is being a liaison with the fairgrounds. Explain what's involved with that.
Oh, yeah. Well, thanks, Kyle. So the fairgrounds has a fair board that actually directs the assets of the fairgrounds, which is the buildings and grounds, and the employees. Even though those employees are, employees of Douglas County, it's actually a fair board, which is a group of folks that, actually makes the decision, enters contracts, that kind of thing for the fair. And so as a liaison, I do just that. I liaison with the fair board so that I'm their spokesman over on this side of the river to talk to, any of the departments we have. If they have any problems, they need some help with, HR or management and finance, they go through me and I make sure that happens. So I sit in on their board meetings and just help them whenever and be supportive whatever way I can.
So has there been a fair board as long as there's been a fair grounds, or did that come later?
No, in 1944, the county court, which is the precursor to the current Board of Commissioners, they purchased the land, which is where the fairground sits today, and at that time they instituted the first Douglas County Fair Board, and that's when the original pavilion and barns were built.
Wow, that's way back.
Yeah, it is. In fact, the history goes back further than that. In 1860, Douglas County's first agricultural fair was held in Oakland in November. That would have been, selling goods, that kind of thing, showing things. But the first county fair was held in Reesport in 1920, and they did it there for almost 15 years. And it was, agricultural and some commerce, but the Great Depression kind of killed that. And then in 1937, Earl Britton started having, he was the head of the local 4-H clubs in the area, and he revised an interest in the local fair and started holding 4-H shows at the Roseburg Armory.
I'm curious how Reedsport got it to begin with. That's kind of interesting.
It is, but you remember this, the county seat at one point was Scottsburg and that, and there was quite a bit of commerce, over there in Reedsport. And it was probably for the lack of them wanting to do something and taking the bull by the horns and doing it.
Interesting. So the fair began here. You started constructing really a building, and it kind of went from there.
It did, yeah. So, that was, again, 1944 when they purchased the 74 acres that it sits on today. In 1944, they had Paul Abiel became the first fair manager, and he was and they held the first official Douglas County Fair. And in from 1937 to, I think, 1952, those first fairs were 4-H clubs only, really, and they were known as junior livestock shows.
And keep in mind, when you think about the fairgrounds location, it's interesting how it all panned out, because, as you probably know, even if you came much later, there was not a freeway there when this opened up.
There clearly wasn't a freeway, and the highway was on the other side of the river. However, they did have, there was a walking bridge at that point from just south of Roseburg, right across to the fairground. So that's how people got there for the most part.
Was walking across from Portland on Portland Avenue?
Yep, right on down to Portland Avenue.
So was there another road that came off of Harvard, or I don't even know if Harvard was really there yet?
Actually, I don't know the answer to that, but there had to have been something there, because I know they relined that frontage road that goes south from the interchange, there was houses and property accessible there. So you're probably right. It probably did come off of Harvard.
Interesting. Well, and now, of course, when the freeway came along in the 60s, that put the facility in a really prime spot.
It certainly did. Yeah, it's really not only just the fairgrounds, which, you know, if you think about fairgrounds in most counties, it's a facility that houses the county fair, but then gets shuttered for most of the year, just a few, you know, maybe livestock events or something like that. But with our fairgrounds, with it being where it is, it's actually, you know, the city of Roseburg's event center. It's got the large buildings. It can hold, you know, it's got 80,000 square feet of those exhibit buildings, actually. And it regularly holds between 1,400 and 1,500 event days a year. So part of that is being close to Roseburg, but yet right there accessible from the freeway.
And along the way, though separate to some extent, the museum came in later too.
Museum came in later. It was designed and built in the late 60s. Award-winning design on the building there, and an award-winning museum. It's sitting there on the same grounds at 74 acres. It's not managed by the fair board, so that little piece is carved out. It's not part of the fairgrounds technically, Yeah, it's, you know, been sitting there for quite a while.
And putting it there probably, though, tied into the fact by that point the freeway had been there for, you know, a couple of years anyway.
It had, yeah. It had been there for probably 10. And having that freeway access and exposure with the billboards and stuff that can be put along it was great for the museum. And, you know, and during the fair, the museum, because of parking and all that and the difficulties, the museum doesn't charge admission. It's a great time if you're at the fair to actually go spend a little time and walk through the museum as well.
Now, when the fair got started, as you mentioned, it was really all about ag. Talk about how that's evolved.
Yeah, so I told you till like 1952, it was all about, it was called the Junior Livestock Show. In 1953, Ricketts Review talent show started. I would have never guessed it was that far back.
Yeah.
But, you know, there were two more barns built. They called them the A Barn and the Poultry Building. And then, you know, from there on, they just started adding buildings and adding events to where it is what it is today.
And what about the racetrack? Any idea when that got put in?
Yeah, the racetrack actually was constructed in 1965. At that time, they had a 3/8 mile horse track, dirt horse track, that was where it is located today. And the racetrack went inside that horse track.
Interesting. So there's a lot of traditions to the fair. You mentioned the Ricketts Review. I mean, decades of people were involved with that. But also you've got the Junior Livestock Show and the auction. That goes way back, too.
It does, yeah. All this stuff. You know, that's one of the things that Douglas County Fair is unique, is because it does have all these traditions that have been going on a long time. Most fairs in the state now are not a true county fair like this, where we have the agricultural, the 4-H, and the FFA kids, along with the commercial retail aspects of a fair. Most of those have been separated in different counties. So Douglas County's very unique still in that respect.
And I know that going way back there, advertising and marketing of an event was way different than it is now. I was fascinated in something that your staff wrote up last week, a Calliope wagon. That's wild.
Yeah. Yeah. The fair manager in 1961, a guy named Dick Turley and his friend Jack Smith, built this Calliope wagon on an old Oldsmobile chassis. And if you've been around, you know, in town long enough, you'll remember that thing. They used to pull it behind a car and go on the parades and various events, and it would make the sound that a Calliope does, and it would advertise for the fair. And that was something they used for years, because that was really their mode of advertising. It was kind of a little different back then, and they did that plus the 1964 Plymouth that they did.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the Plymouth when we come back. County Commissioner Tom Kress with us. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245. Inside Douglas County and News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson at 1. David Littlejohn with True Wealth Radio at 4. And tomorrow, if all goes as planned, we'll be out at the Douglas County Fair with a guest or two doing Inside Douglas County from our booth at the fair, which is on the way to the amphitheater. We're talking about the fair with County Commissioner Tom Press, who is the fair liaison. We talked about the Calliope. Talk more about this Plymouth Fury, which I hadn't seen in years, and I actually didn't realize it was still around, but apparently you drove it in graffiti.
I did, yeah. In 1964, the fair board decided that the best way to market the fair was to have this 1964 Plymouth Fury 3, which is a convertible, and they pinstripe the thing up with all about the Douglas County Fair and put the dates on it and towed this Calliope in all the, you know, local events. And that car has been kept in its original condition, completely original, really, and at the fairgrounds ever since. And I've seen it out and about a little bit over the years and thought, what a neat thing to do, to try to get this out, clean it up, and get it go down on graffiti and cruise it up and down and advertise for the fair a little bit. So that's what we did.
And had you driven it before?
I had never driven it before, no. I drove it home the night before the event, and it overheated on me, and I had to figure out why that was going on, and it had a little electric fan in it that was the wire came off, put that back on, and then it worked flawlessly throughout the night.
Wow. I didn't know that was still there. Is it normally just stored somewhere?
Yeah, it's stored in one of the little barns out there at the fairgrounds, and has been for you know, ever since it was new. Like I said, it was purchased in 1964. There's a few little under the hood upgrades I noticed. It's got it didn't show any charging when I got it, and I was a little nervous about that, so I had to put a voltmeter on it, and it was charging well enough. But I noticed they had upgraded the alternator to a newer one that didn't go through the 64 wiring harness, and so that's why that didn't anything. But yeah, it's just been sitting there ever since.
Wow. So for you, how long have you lived in Douglas County?
Oh, I was born and raised here, so my whole life.
So what are some of your memories about going to the fair?
You know, the thing that pops the most to me, it always is, and it probably does a lot of people, fair food. I mean, that's always been a big one. You know, you notice those smells when you go to the fairgrounds. But I wasn't raised around animals to speak of, and even though this was a rural area, and just going to seeing all the different animals, and still to this day I enjoy doing that. And so those are kind of my memories. You know, you'd think that it would be, as a kid, it would be the Midway or something like that, but really it was more the smiling people, the smells and sights, that's what brings back the memories to me about the fair.
And I imagine, for the most part, the carnival kind of came up down the road a ways.
It did, yeah. I mean, that's something that, it was, I think it was somewhere in the 60s, late 60s, when that started happening, but it evolved to what it is, you know, today, and now it's done by the Rainier Group. They do the carnival, and they come in every year, as they do other carnivals. They're sort of what they call a mid-sized carnival concierge, and they go from mid-sized fairs like Douglas County's, and do them all throughout the Northwest.
Now, with a set of buildings that many of which are older, you've been able to upgrade, you've rebuilt some things. Talk about things that have been added in recent years, even the Douglas Timber Operators structure that I think was done last year.
Yeah, so, a couple things. In 2005, the conference hall was built. That was to replace the one that was there before that had collapsed during the winter. That's the latest, big project building. But even Douglas Hall got a new roof and HVAC system installed this last year, and that was done honestly through grants. We were able to get some grants from the the fairgrounds qualifies for different grants throughout the state, and we were able to qualify for a couple of them to get that done. That building was built in 1970, and all that stuff was original, so the roof been patched a lot of time, but it needed to be replaced. And then, like you mentioned, the Douglas Timber Operators Pavilion was put in last year, and that again was paid for through donations from timber folks and just individuals that wanted to see that there.
And you mentioned the difference aspect about having a place that's used so much throughout the year. And the location obviously plays into that and probably really helps get people to the community that if you were tucked away somewhere might not show up.
No, yeah, I mean, you know, it's got a couple things going for it. It has a the RV park there, which was built, you know, in 1979 with those 50 spaces. So there's a lot. Oftentimes, events will be held that, you know, it's not real convenient for them to stay in a conventional motel or something. So, you know, that's an option for people within walking distance to all the different buildings there at the fairgrounds. And then, you know, it's only a mile from or less back to town where there is all the amenities of restaurants and motels and stuff. And so it's kind of, you know, it's a fairly large facility right next to town.
And how many staff do you have for the fair?
Well, yeah, that's a so the fair itself during throughout the year has around 7 full-time people and a few volunteers. But during the fair, it ramps way up, and it's varied, you know, 30, 40 folks if you can get them, just to, you know, do things like change the trash and go around and make sure that the bathrooms are cleaned. And, you know, because it's almost a 24/7 thing, so that, you know, they got to do it during the day, but then somebody's at night cleaning. And you know, it really ramps up. And I know during our first fair out of COVID, it was really a struggle because they just couldn't find people that would want to, you know, do that work. And a lot of our contacts we had lost over the time, but that's come back now, and he's got a full staff this year.
And yeah, coming out of a pandemic, a lot of event things tied into entertainment, a lot of different things had essentially largely been shuttered for a while, and so it was kind of a hard pushback.
It was, yeah. I mean, it was even there was, you know, the thought was what should have even be having that thing, and it was a fair, and you know, the county at the time was very supportive of having the fair and opening it as soon as possible, because it was one of those things that felt like the community needed that. You know, they had been, you know, shuttered so long during COVID that it was they needed that release. So that first fair, although we didn't have everything quite the way that you know, the entertainment and some of that stuff that you just couldn't get to come, that, you know, wasn't quite the level we'd had in the past, it still was really well received, just simply from the fact that I think folks wanted to get out and do something that they hadn't been able to do in a long time.
So what is having a fairgrounds like this, what does it add to the community overall?
Well, outside of the fair itself, which was kind of what we're talking about here today, that the fairgrounds as an event center, you know, it can be, you know, so during the Archer Creek fires, that's where the Forest Service and all the fire agencies, you know, they met there and stayed there during the Archer Creek fires, because while they'd like to be closer to the fires were right here on town, you know. So they stayed there, and it was great to have that big a facility that was available and ready to go. During the pandemic, they did, Douglas Public Health Network did the drive-in clinics there for both the vaccinations and just regular clinics. And, you know, and then the events themselves, if you're looking to have an event in Roseburg and you want to, you know, have a 400, say, seating catered event, you know, you're looking at the fairgrounds, and that's it, you know. So otherwise you'd have to go clear to Seven Feathers to have something of that size. So there's quite a few events that the fairgrounds hosts and caters every year that we'd be looking for a place somewhere in this area if it wasn't there.
And some weekends, I know that you really have just about the whole place in use. One organization may have something in the conference hall, something else may be going on in the big building, and then you've got outside activities with ag and that kind of thing too.
You bet. Yeah, that's very very common in the summer to have all, and especially now because Douglas Hall is now for the first time air conditioning, so we're, you know, able to rent that building out as well. So for the first time, you've got events going on in all the buildings potentially, and like you said, there might be a race going on at the racetrack, and then a livestock show going on down in the lower arena at the same time.
All right, and the fair, it all begins tomorrow. We'll see you out there. County Commissioner Tom Kress, thanks for coming in.
Hey, thanks for having me.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM.